You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. How well has the state of Michigan responded to the problem of PFAS contamination of our groundwater? That was the focus of a Grand Rapids hearing Tuesday convened by U.S. Senator Gary Peters, who made a point to single out a veteran geologist at the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality.
When I first began to hear from constituents concerned about PFAS contamination, one name came up over and over again, and that was Bob Delaney. Bob's decade-long work on PFAS, his tireless persistence in advancing our understanding of the threat, and his foresight and bravery in sounding the alarm make him a legendary figure among the community of Michiganders working to protect our water.
And Bob Delaney is with us now. Bob, welcome to Stateside.
Good to be here, Cindy.
Bob, when did you first discover there was a problem with PFAS chemicals in the Michigan environment? What put this on your radar?
I discovered it in 2010. I work on Defense Department cleanups of bases, and I am involved with the various national committees and stuff. And so during one of those committee team meetings and trainings, they discussed emerging contaminants, chemicals that were going to be coming up as a potential problem. And really the Defense Department had the foresight to be looking at what chemicals they were using and what ones might become a problem environmentally, because they didn't want to keep using chemicals and then have to clean them up later. So they came in, talked to several of us from the states and told us about different chemicals. And one of them that came up was a triple F, the firefighting foam that's used on all the bases, and the chemicals specifically were PFOS and PFOA. So it was in March of 2010 that I really got my introduction to the chemicals, and then we found them at the base.
So you found them at the base, and then how did it progress from there?
So when we learned about these chemicals and my consultant, we'd been negotiating with the Air Force for maybe 20 years on this cleanup of this one fire training area, and we'd finally come to an agreement on what was going to be done. Well, while my consultant was out there, he saw this black soil that had never been sampled before, and so I had just had this training. I told him, well, sample it for everything, and why don't you add these PFOS and PFOA chemicals and see if they're there? And he did, and it came back that they were highly contaminated. From that point forward, we knew that there was a potential problem because of the training on the whole base, and we started taking duplicate samples of everything the Air Force did. And as we proceeded, we found PFOS, PFOA, and a bunch of other chemicals all over the base, all through the surface water and in all the fish.
And what did you think as you began to peel away the kind of the layers and discovered the scope of the problem with PFOS and PFOA chemicals?
Well, first of all, just understanding, one of my specialties has been contaminant fate and transport. How do contaminants get into the environment? How do they move through the environment? And where do they end up, like in people or fish or, you know, in the eagle or something like that? So that's something I had always been aware of. But what was different about this whole situation was I quickly discovered these things were found around the globe and that they were indestructible. You couldn't get rid of them once you got them out in the environment. And then what we typically did is I was a geologist, I didn't know how toxic things were, so I went and I talked to our toxicologist I asked him how toxic are these and what kind of criteria would I have to have the Air Force clean things up. So what he did is he came back with really preliminary numbers of 60 and 100 parts per trillion for these chemicals in groundwater. So what that meant was for people drinking the water, he was saying that, you know, it looks like from the scientific literature that that's kind of the criteria that will end up, the Air Force will have to clean things up to. And I realized right then that this would mean I'd have to tell the Air Force to start totally over with characterizing the site. We'd have to have all new remedies up there because the remedies we'd already agreed to wouldn't work. And so the thing that was different was I said, well, if I got to go argue with the Air Force about these things and try and get them to take on something that was totally brand new and to say that, you know, all the millions you spent aren't sufficient, then I wanted to be really sure that I agreed with my toxicologist that these things were real. So I dove into trying to understand how toxic they were, what was happening when people had ingested them, what studies were out there. Those were two areas of study I had never taken on before. That was toxicology and epidemiology. It got me to the point where, like I said in my testimony yesterday, I was literally afraid. I was frightened for my children, for the future. And I also felt that the weight of the world was on my shoulders, because if I didn't know about this stuff, the massive number of people and elected officials and media didn't know anything about it either.
At yesterday's hearing, you said, and I'm quoting you, you felt like you were at the edge of an abyss looking into hell. Those are some very, very powerful feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I have not felt those strong of feelings, certainly never with work. I've certainly, personal issues with children and stuff like that, you might have strong feelings, but as a scientist, I kind of look at everything kind of abstractly and sort of impersonal. But this became very, very personal to me, which was different than anything else I'd ever done. So yeah, and I call them the contaminants from hell, because they travel everywhere, they bioaccumulate, they're indestructible. We need them for so many things. It's the perfect contaminant if you want to create a problem.
In 2012, Bob Delaney, you sent a 93-page report to DEQ Director Dan Wyant. So this is a couple years down the road after you've done all this digging. You spelled out your concerns about the threat that PFAS posed to Michigan residents. You recommended actions the DEQ could take to address these threats, to alert the public. What were some of those recommendations?
Oh, it was a myriad of recommendations. One of the things I wanted to do was look at the blood and try and isolate the problems in Michigan where people were getting greater exposures. The Red Cross gets blood from people all across the state. Well, I wanted us to look at those blood samples. I wanted to check the food that we were consuming, because as I pointed out, when we quit making these chemicals, or at least the long chain ones, a certain family of them, the Chinese took it up. And so what were they doing to their environment? What were they doing? So is our food supply okay? And my biggest emphasis was saying, look, we can't clean all this stuff up immediately. What we want to really make sure is we're just not consuming it. We're not taking it in. The director was brought in. My understanding was that he came over from Agricultural Department, and MDQ at that time was having a hard time getting funding and working with the elected officials and things like that. And he had a terrific reputation to be able to work with the various players out there. And so he would readily admit, the environmental's not my big, something I really know a lot about. But I do understand government. I do understand, funding and those kinds of things. And so it wasn't that they were trying to downplay the environment. It was just that we were having such a funding problem that he was brought in to try and solve that problem. So when talking to him and giving him advice or things like that, I was trying to really get him to, I was asking him to go to the governor and talk about these things, but I wanted to make sure he was convinced that it wasn't just Bob Delaney, geologist, tells director, and director runs to the governor and explains this stuff. I wanted him to bring in scientists, other scientists to talk to him. I wanted him to form a work group within the department, or talk with the other directors who also have a part in this, to be really sure and confident before he would talk with the governor. And then I also, he asked me at one point, well, what should I do? And I just said, really, it comes down to leadership and taking leadership of this issue. And so we had really good conversation, but the rest is history.
Well, what happened after you submitted that report?
Well, I know I heard that it got distributed to upper managers in DEQ. What happened other than that, I don't know what happened, if anything.
Now, MDEQ has repeatedly said it did not ignore your 2012 report. When did top-level DEQ administrators first really talk with you about it?
Well, actually, I mean, nobody's talked to me about it until this last year, since probably October of 2017. But they did. There were things that were done. I gave a presentation in 2010 to the deputy director Jim Saigo and our division chief Linnell Maroff. Unfortunately, both of those people have passed away, but they were old timers like myself, been around from the beginning. And Jim established our small work group on PFAS, and that's what led to the 2011 white paper that was part of my testimony. And they also added to our normal yearly sampling for fish and water. They added PFAS chemicals to that. But then after that, things didn't seem to really progress much across the state.
Well, as each new governor takes office, and as you called, you said an old timer, you've had a lot of decades of service at the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. So each governor comes into office, they bring with them new leaders, a new approach to how they implement each department's mission. So in that some 30 years, you've seen a number of these transitions. How would you describe how the culture and priorities at MDEQ changed, if at all, when Rick Snyder became governor?
Well, let me give you a context. I came into the department as a geologist in 1979. And at that time, Michigan was an environmental, the government was a leader in the world in environmental protection. We were pioneering a lot of stuff that eventually the nation would adapt. And we were identifying our sites, and we were very, very aggressive. Economic hard times came on the state, and that deteriorated till now. I would have to say we don't live up to that kind of level of commitment and investment and talent. And that's sort of a sign of the times. Each governor has brought in a different administration, and Governor Snyder came in with sort of a mandate to fix the economy. And he was brought in from, we voted in somebody that was from the business community. And the perception has always been in the business community that they're overregulated, that, a lot of people feel that we're doing too much on the environment and various other things like that. And so every administration reflects what the culture's doing. And sort of that's sort of what was reflected in the early days of the administration. Since the Flint thing has occurred, we've taken more of an aggressive, more informed approach to things.
I'm speaking with Bob Delaney, a veteran geologist with the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. He was one of the very first, if not the first, DEQ staffer to sound a warning about PFAS contamination in Michigan. It was a year ago this month when the state created MPART, the Michigan PFAS Action Response Team, and the state touts its efforts as being among the most robust responses to this challenge in the nation. What are your thoughts about the DEQ's current approach to our PFAS and PFOA problem?
Like I've said, nothing is perfect, but here's the thing that I knew when the governor decided to do this, that this would change the discussion across the nation when he decided in his administration that we were going to sample the water systems all across the state. Because once that data started to come in, that data is informing the whole nation of the problem. Michigan is by far not the only state with PFAS problems. We're just the ones that are, us and a few other states are really shining a light on, hey, this is in your water, this is in your food, this is in your drink, your surface water, you're in your fish, you need to do something about it. We're finding this to be the truth. And so just kudos to the governor for taking that kind of aggressive action and getting the data out and stuff like that. But also what's happening is we're trying to grapple with a problem that I've said a long time, it's too big. It's too big. Nobody wants to take it on because it's too big of a problem. And that's why, if you watch the testimony yesterday, I got off talking about health problems that these chemicals and others are causing in our culture. If we're going to decide to tackle this, then we have to have a really compelling reason. And to me, that's the compelling reason. Are there really health effects that are impacting our society and our children that we need to address? And are chemicals the problem?
And the science seems to be still rather unclear about just how harmful these chemicals are to human health. What are your feelings and thoughts as you dive into the research and the science of this?
Well, there's two, there's multiple things I think about that. One of the things that people really should understand, and I included it in my testimony in the 2012 report, I included a letter from the Weinberg Group. And it's a letter to DuPont telling DuPont that what they would do to neutralize the government, what they would do to change people's minds and things like that. And I think that's a huge story. From what I understand, they worked for the cigarette industry. So you kind of understand where they're at. And they've never disavowed that letter that they sent to DuPont. And I think something that the media has to understand is science is really complicated and difficult, and it takes people with real conviction and real honesty to get to the bottom of things. And so it's not hard to confuse everybody. You can put out some reports, and I'm not saying the Weinberg Group did that, but in this case, but you can see what they said in their letter they would do. And you can confuse the public, you can confuse the elected officials, you can confuse everybody pretty simply.
I'm wondering, Bob, how has all of this affected you, your life, your career over these past 8 years since you first kind of hit on the scope of this problem?
It's made my life complicated, I can say that. I don't know, you know, one of the most satisfying things in life is to be able to work at something you care about. And so in that sense, I've never cared more about my job than I do now. On the flip side, it is, it's an emotional roller coaster. And if it weren't for good friends and my church and my faith, that'd be a real, real struggle.
Bob Delaney, longtime scientist with the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, the first at the DEQ to raise concerns about PFAS contamination in Michigan. Bob, we want to thank you so much for speaking with us and spending time with us on Stateside.
Well, thank you, Cindy. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to interview me.
We reached out to a representative for former MDEQ Director Dan Wyant to give him the chance to respond. We have not yet heard back.